As we were singing that last song, I was thinking about the fact that it's not just our worship, but our worship flows out of our lives. And sometimes our lives are not in a position that worship can flow out of our lives. And I was just thinking in my own life, my whole life is about God. The reason we're here, the reason we're on this earth, our purpose for being here, whatever it is, it's about Jesus Christ. And sometimes I get sidetracked on that, and it becomes about me and what I want and what I long for, way more than it is about God. And sometimes I think I need to get that in focus for me as well. How many of you have been going through life wishing you knew what direction to go and where to head in life, what path to walk down? In May at Lois Brenneman's funeral, I talked some there about the law of the path, and I want to talk some about that as well this morning, because since then I've been doing a lot of thinking about what I preached that morning. And actually, there's another verse that I found in Proverbs that is really incredible, a really incredible verse that I'm going to use as my theme verse this morning. It says this in Proverbs 4:26, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." Or the NSB says, "and all your ways will be established." And to ponder means to roll flat. That is to prepare, like you would a road, actually. To weigh mentally. To ponder, to weigh. And so what the Proverbs is saying is ponder the path of your feet. The path that you are walking on, ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. That is a pretty powerful verse, because there have been many times in my life that I haven't known which way to go. And there have been many times in my life that I thought I was on the right path, and I wasn't. And the writer of the Proverbs is saying, ponder, weigh the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. That is very powerful. That's a very powerful verse. This morning I want to talk some about the law of the path, our choice of paths, and then some practical applications about that. We're familiar with laws of nature that God has put in place. I'm very much aware of the law of gravity. In fact, I'm aware of that every day because I suffer the consequences of that. When Alicia was about a year old, I came off of a two-story roof onto a concrete pad, crushed my leg. I still feel the pain of that almost every day, if not every day. I still carry that pain in my body. It's a law that God has put in place that there's no way we can get around. We can defy it for a period of time, such as airplanes, hot air balloons, all those kind of things, but it's a law that we can only defy for a short period of time. And if the mechanism that we use to defy it fails, the law of gravity takes over. And we can't get around it. There's no way that we can get around the law of gravity. It's just a law that God has put in place. Another is the law of sowing and reaping. We're very familiar with that. If we plant corn in the spring, we're not going to reap apples. If we plant soybeans, we're not going to reap potatoes. It's the law that God has put in place. If you plant soybeans, you'll reap soybeans. If we plant corn, we'll reap corn. But another law that God has put in place is the law of the path. And the law of the path is this. The path that we are on determines our destination, not anything else. not our thoughts, not our intentions, not what our hopes or what our dreams are, but the path that we are walking on determines our destination. If I want to go to Quarryville, I would get on 222 South probably from here and go to Quarryville. If I get on 222 and go north, I will never get to Quarryville as long as I don't reverse directions and go back, because the law of the path has taken over. And I can be on 222 North for the next 2 days and be all excited about the fact that I'm going to Quarryville and that sometime I'm going to get there. And I can say, yeah, I can't wait to get there, but I'll never get there because the law of the path has taken effect. And we can't get around the law of the path. The path that we are on determines our destinations, not our intentions. How many of us have woke up sometime and said, how in the world did I get here? And those of us that are directionally challenged probably say that a little more than some of the rest of us. But when I think about that, I think about when I was young, still at home, we would get in the truck to go to work in the morning, and my dad was pretty good about not paying attention where he was going. And so we would be sort of acting like we're sleeping, peeking out of our eyes, watching what's happening, and then we would realize that Dad made a wrong turn and that he's going a different direction than where the job was. And then my brother and I, we would settle in for a long snooze because we weren't going to tell him he was taking the wrong turn. We wanted that extra time to sleep. But invariably, Dad would always do the same thing. All of a sudden, he'd realize that he wasn't going where he was intending to go, and he would, as soon as that realization came to his mind, he would slam on the brakes and say, ah, how did I get here? Like, how did I end up here? Because he wanted to go a different direction. And that's true in the physical sense. Sometimes we say, we wake up and we say, we realize we've gone the wrong way, but the same is true in a spiritual and a moral and a relational sense as well. There's times that we're heading down the wrong road and we don't realize it, and all of a sudden we wake up and we realize that the law of the path has taken effect and we're not where we intended to be, or we're not where we wanted to be, or we're not where we thought we were going because the law of the path has taken effect. The truth is, we are where we are most times because we've headed down, or we've started down a wrong path, or we've taken a path that has gotten us where we don't want to go. Sometimes as I talk to people, they want to get out of the situation that they're in. And one of the questions I ask different times is, where are you headed? Or where do you want to go? What is the path that you want to be on? And once we've established that, then we know what we have to do to get there. We have to readjust ourselves and to get onto that path. We can argue about where the path is heading. There are times I try to give people directions. It may be my wife, it may be someone else, and I say, if you take this road, it'll take you there. No, I don't think it will take you there. But the truth is, the road that you're on is going to take you where it goes. And we can argue about the path and the destination of the paths that we choose. And I'm referring that to a spiritual sense. We can argue about that. But we can't get around the fact that God has put laws in place. And the law of the path will take effect. And God has determined what those outcomes are. Not us as people. We're not the ones that determine the destination of the paths that we're on. Sometimes people really don't care about where they end up spiritually. In the physical sense, sometimes I'm like that as well. I love to explore. And I probably know more, well, I know lots of roads in this county just from that stamp, just because of that, because I love to explore. I like to go to places sometimes that I don't care where I end up. I just want to see where this road will take me. And spiritually, a lot of times we're like that as people as well. We don't care where we end up. We don't care the destination. We're just happy to be on the road that we're on for this moment in time. We don't care about the destination. Several choice of paths that the Bible talks about are destination and destination options. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads." About three paths that we can choose, but there's only two destinations. Two of the paths are found in this verse. One is the path of destruction. Most of us are not drawn to that. I think I might have said this here before in a message. The path of destruction, I'm not very drawn to. And the temptations of that, I'm not very drawn to. I'm not tempted to go out and live I'm just going to use this as an example. I'm not tempted to go hang out in the bars and get drunk till I'm silly and don't know where I'm headed or what I'm doing. I'm not very tempted about that, but that's a path that we can choose, a path of destruction where we knowingly choose the path of destruction and go down that. We can choose the path of life. And if I would ask the question, how many of us this morning want to be on the path of life? I bet all of us, or I would guess that all of us would raise our hands. That's the one that we want to be on. The third option of paths is this. It's our own path, or a shortcut. Proverbs 14:12 and actually 16:25, it says this, "There is a way or a path that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." That's a pretty staggering verse. There's a path that we're on that seems right to us, but the end of it is the way of death. There's the path of life, there's the path of death, but then there's our own path. So there's three paths that we can choose, but there's two destinations. And I don't know about you, but that gets me, because like I said before, I'm not drawn to the path of destruction, but one thing I am drawn to is my own path. I'm drawn to doing my own thing and to doing what I want to do and to doing what I think is best in any given situation. I'm drawn to that. That's what gets me in my life. Because I think I know what is best in a lot of situations. I think I know how to relate. I think I know how to respond. I think I know what will lead me to the path of life or to the destination of life. But yet, if it's my own path, the end of it is destruction. It's the same as the other. The three paths, two destinations. Some practical applications to this. I can apply this, and actually it's what I did in the message. From here on, I applied it to us spiritually. But this morning, I've been thinking about this verse over the last number of months, and I want to apply it to us in different areas of our lives. One is in relationships with each other. So often we can choose a path toward destruction or a path of life, where the end, as I live my life, as I interact with people, I talked the last time I preached actually about brokenness. And I talked some about some of the meltdown my wife and I had that week. You know, if we would continue on in the way that we think, all that leads to, the end result of that is destruction in relationship. That's just how it is. Brokenness is the path that leads to life. I'm just using that as an example. I was thinking about our Sunday school lesson this morning and the servants and how they related to their masters. I wonder if they ever thought how the path that they chose, the servant girl that was a servant to Naaman, Naaman's wife, I wonder if she ever thought about the fact that the path that she chose would bring life into her world and to the situation that she found herself in. Or Gehazi, when he went out after that silver, did he consider the path that he chose? And that ultimately, and it was a wide open, that's a wide open example of how his choice, how he chose to relate to Naaman and the situation that he found in life led to a path of death for him. Oh, he didn't die physically, but he had leprosy for the rest of his life, and the generations that followed him did as well. An incredible path of death that his decisions and his choices make. How many of us today are thinking about that, even as young people, as you're thinking about what you're doing with your life and the relationships that you have and are building, whether it's with family or with other people? How many of us stop and consider, because Proverbs is saying, hey, stop and consider. Ponder the path of your feet. What you're doing as young people now is, what path are you on? Us as older people, the same thing is true as well. What path are we on? Is it in relationships? Is it a path of life? Is it a path of death and destruction? I've heard people say, I'll stand on principle and I'll stand on truth. And I've watched people do that say that, and I'm all for standing for principle and truth. Don't hear me wrong. But sometimes when we do that, we do it at the expense of destruction, and we destroy people around us. The other side of it is, we can say, just love anybody and anything goes. That path leads to destruction as well. There's two extremes that both lead to destruction. But the question is, as we relate to people, how am I choosing? How am I choosing a path of life or a path of death? I think of the woman that was called in adultery and came and thrown at Jesus' feet, and the Pharisees were ready to stand on principle and say, you know, she needs to be stoned. That's what the law says. She needs to be stoned. And Jesus said, no, I don't think so. That's not the path that leads to life. And he offered her forgiveness and restoration instead. And it led to life. What about our relationships? What about our family beliefs and principles? How we operate as a family? The path that we're on. You know, it's interesting to me, I don't know if you do much reading, but to watch how generations react to the generation before them. And sort of our generation has reacted to our parenting style of the generation before us. And we said, hey, they were really uninvolved parents. They're not involved, and it has hurt. It's led, that parenting style has led to a path of death. And so we've reacted to that. But now in the last little while, I've been hearing that now that our children are saying, hey, your parenting style has led to a path of death. And the buzzword right now is what they call helicopter parents, who just hover over their children and are there all the time and totally involved in their lives, and they don't let them grow up and be children and be adults. They don't let them be adults while they're growing. They just protect them from every little thing that they can possibly protect them from. And now they're saying, hey, that's not healthy. You need to give them some space. And, you know, I wonder if we think about the paths that we go down. And so often life is about reacting to what happened before us rather than actually stopping and pondering and considering, what's the path that I'm on as my family? What direction am I going down? How am I going to be? What is the outcome of this going to be? What about our church beliefs and principles and relationships? You know, as I was thinking about this, I wish I could go back and redo some of my involvement in church in the past. Because some of the things that I thought were so important, I realize aren't as important anymore. And I'm talking here about relationships. And I've destroyed some relationships with people in the past in my churches that I wish I could go back and redo. And I have, actually. I've actually had to go back and redo and rebuild a lot of those relationships. But how are we relating in our church? Financial decisions that we make. The financial decisions that we make, will it lead to life or will it lead to destruction? Or business, or auto industry and financial institutions right now are reaping the consequences of a path that they have chosen. And if it wouldn't have been for the government stepping in and bailing them out, they would have gone under. But it's a path that they chose that led to destruction. Or the ministries that we're involved in as a congregation, whatever it is, kids club, whatever we're involved in, are we considering and pondering the path that our feet are walking on? As we walk through our life day by day, everything that we do, everything that we're involved in, are we aware of the destination of the path that we are on and that we are choosing? Are we aware of that? Do we care about that? Several questions. Do we care about the destination? And have we taken time to consider our path? In the physical sense, if I can picture the destination of a road, I know what road I want to take. You know, if I can picture that I go, if I can sort of picture in my mind where 222 runs, if I go north, I'm going to go to Redding. If I go south, I'm going to go to Quarryville. If I can picture that in my mind, it helps me choose, okay, yeah, that's the road I want to take because that's the destination that I want to end up at. And I don't know for you, that's easy for me in the physical sense because I can understand directions, but it's much harder for me in a spiritual sense, emotional sense, relational sense, to understand the outcome of the paths that I'm walking on and the paths that I've chosen and the paths that I think will take me to a certain place. It's much more difficult for me to picture that outcome and to know the destination that my path will take me. That's where I need to the Lord. And there's a number of verses. Psalm 16 says this, "You will show me the path of life." In Isaiah 30:11, when I read this verse, actually I get chills that go up and down my spine. It says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." What a powerful verse. That in the moment, well, let me say this, when we stop to ponder the path of our feet and we don't know which way to go, is this going to be a path of life? Or is this going to be a path of death? As I make this decision, as I live my life, no matter what it is in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense, relationally, will it be a path of life? Will it be a path of death? If I take time to sit and ponder that, I love the picture of the Lord standing behind us, whispering in our ear, "This is the path. Walk in it." What a powerful picture of God directing and guiding our path because He is concerned about the outcome of our paths. Because He's designed the paths. He knows where every one of them is going to lead. Of the paths that we walk on in our lives, whatever it is, theologically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, He knows the destination of every one of the paths that we are walking on. And if we ponder that, he will be behind us saying, I can actually feel the breath on my neck right now, saying, this is the path. Walk in it. Walk in it. This is the path of life. This is the path that is going to bring life to your family. This is the path that's going to bring life to your relationships. This is the path that's going to bring life to your church, to your families. This is the way. Walk in it. But it requires of us to get still long enough and to ponder. Dan Beachy, I think, has helped me sort through lots of things in life as I've talked to him about things by just asking the question, where's it going to lead you in 5 years from now or 10 years from now? And that's exactly what this message is about. Where is this path or this decision? I think he says, roll it out 5 or 10 years, and where are you going to be? But we have to stop. We have to ponder. We have to consider the path that our feet are walking on. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning for each one of us as we're here. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would direct our thoughts. We're all walking on a path. The question is, where is that path taking us? Where is it leading us? Where will the end be? If not for us, maybe for our children, or for the people in our families, the relationships of people around us, or maybe financially, where will it lead us? Lord, help us to ponder that this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Maybe there's someone here this morning that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that the path that they are on is heading the wrong way. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts here this morning. This morning, I want to just open it up. If God's spoken to you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands, slip your hands up. Maybe the path that you have chosen, you realize is heading in a wrong direction, and you just want a word of prayer for that, relationally, anyway. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, you know the ones that slipped up their hands here this morning. I don't know what's going on in their lives, but you do. Lord, I pray that you would breathe life into them, that you would show them the path of life. And God, that they would have the courage and strength to walk in that. And Lord, for each one of us, it's not just about them, it's about us, it's about me. I pray that I would be open to hearing your voice behind me saying, this is the way. Lord, guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.